Warning. This show can contain adult material or coarse language. Sensitive listeners are advised. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 4, B. In this episode, we're reading your feedback on the Fringe Furs discussion.
Oh yeah, we talked about that last time.
My name is Creighton.
I am a Demira.
And sorry. Please continue.
You're just gonna cut me off and that's act for no one else.
I was
no
reading
one else
the
here.
Script and
Close
we got up
shop.
And we got up to Carnival's bit and I'm like, and I'm Carnival because it's the script and I'm supposed to read from it.
And I'm reading
it's
I'm
okay,
reading.
Creighton.
The script.
You can be Carnival for this episode.
This is Act 4 on Air, and this is our show B, that fan-dangled little episode where we read your responses and listen to some awesome segments.
And for those who care, who aren't Creighton, I'm Cunny.
She said it normally this time.
No,
yes!
Shut up. You didn't have
first
that recorded.
First time in ages.
Shut up.
But she only said Cunny. She didn't say Carnival.
I take the testosterone pill and you will be doomed.
Oh, yeah, we were saying if Carnival ever took, like, testosterone pills, she would just, like, destroy the world.
No, okay, no.
This is the conversations that we have.
Yeah, there's a reason the universe preordained me female. They're like, no one is ready for that. Let's not do that to everyone. Make her female, and that will balance out the destruction that won't be had. Yeah, that's how it went.
Anyway, it's the show B, so the front end tends to be pretty short, so we're going to get into some updates.
Yay!
Damn this technology, it drives me to update.
What have you been up to this week?
Today?
No.
No.
Actually, I'm going to tell you to do that one first, so.
What was it?
What is it that didn't happen this week?
Okay. So what was not up this week?
What was
I'll tell
not
you
up
what
this
wasn't
week?
Up this week. Us in a plane falling out of it. Remember last time how we were supposed to do that? Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it got cancelled again. So we're rebooking for the fourth time recently. And click the link in the show notes if you're interested in seeing us actually drop. It'll hopefully happen on one of the dates. But
I think
honestly,
what's going to happen is we're going to keep doing it every single Monday for the next 2 months, and Monday's going to become our Sunday to hang out with friends.
Dude, yeah, we're just going to have a picnic every Monday.
Yeah, every Sunday is a picnic. Sorry, every Monday. Every Monday now, Sunday is picnic day with beer.
Yeah.
I'm cool with this, by the way.
Yeah, it's just, it's so hard to suss out Mother Nature's
movements. Here's the thing, though.
The
day was perfect.
Lady.
It was wide open blue skies with no wind until 10 minutes before we turned up.
Yeah.
Also, you may hear some eating noises in the background. Jen just got dinner.
That's because it looks
like I totally got given dinner.
So,
best day.
I'm sorry.
We're going to keep recording, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, Tata.
Are we going to keep recording? But
yes.
I'm eating. Are we sure?
Yep, do it, Jen.
Okay. Creighton, what have you been up to?
I have been animating a lot in Flash. I really, really enjoy it, but also, oh my God. If any of you are thinking about animating, it's a lot of fun.
Stop!
It's great.
Stop
it's really
now, run away!
It takes so long.
Yeah.
I've been doing digital art for so long, I'm just like, finished in like a couple of hours. And this one, I animated for 3.5 hours and did 10 seconds worth of footage.
Yeah, and how much are you getting paid for that, Creighton?
Less than I should be.
That's right! Who told you it was a bad idea? Still love you.
Artists.
Mushi. Mushi did, but I couldn't understand it. I can't talk. Anyway, if any of you are trying to get into 2D animation, a really, really good learning resource for the sort of production pipeline that you should be doing, check out Flamingo 1986's DeviantArt page and YouTube. Flamingo 1986 is the dude who put together the Double Rainboom production. For those of you who are Pony fans, you might have seen that. It's the big fan-made episode. He's really good at his pipeline for animation and also working with other people for it. It helped me out an absolute bunch. If you're planning on getting into animation, check those links in the show notes. They were really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of unicorns, though, you're going to Unicorn, which has nothing to do with unicorns.
Oh, I know. I bought my little mascot for it and everything.
Really? That's going to sit at your table?
Yes.
Where's Unicorn?
Yeah, Unicorn is a... Okay, you remember back a little while ago, Jen, when I was like, there's this totally rad thing that me and Kyle are going to. It's like a nerdy role-playing gathering where they have a whole bunch of tables and a whole bunch of GMs come together and they all play...
You're doing... It's a...
Sorry, I can't hear you past the pasta. You're going to...
Shut up! The pasta is so good. you're going to a tabletop con.
But yeah, basically, yeah, a whole bunch of people go along to play and host
Gen
games.
Con.
And yeah, and there's going to be going from October 4th through to the 6th, so Friday evening all the way to Saturday day and Sunday day. I've got all 3 days off, actually, just for it, because I thought we were doing more games than we were. When Carl said we're doing two games, it's not two games each, it's one each, and I'm like, oh, I had two prepared. He's like, don't steal my game. So me and our good friend Kyle, Squeaky Fish, are going to basically bring the good word of the god, as in the Mouse Guard game. Which
what day is it on? 4th to 6th?
Of October. Yes, it is actually the weekend right before our birthday.
Yeah. I've got the 6th off, but I'm helping a friend move, so I don't think I'm going to be able to join you there.
Lame.
That's that friend Carney.
Game.
Yeah. So I'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. So if anyone is Melbourne local or Melbourne surround local that likes a little bit of nerdiness and, yeah, wants to come along and play
little
some
bit.
Role-playing games,
we are
going to
nerd it
please
the fuck
join
up.
Us.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. And also Mouse Guard. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, Jen, you recovered an email that Tom sent. Okay, actually, I'm going to jump a bit here. Site fixes. We've fixed the menus. We fixed some other bits on the site. And I was going to say on the contact form, please send us an email because the contact form hasn't worked for like 2 months. So if you've sent something via the contact form, it's broken and we lost it. However, Jen fixed it in about 3 seconds.
Yeah. It's fine, whatever.
With her techno fairy wand.
Okay, so when we say it's fixed now, what we mean is it's fixed as of how many days ago for them now?
1, 2, 3, 4.
25th of September. It was being fixed from.
Yeah, so that
at least 8 o'clock.
Yeah, listen, it's been fixed a half a week. Where you been?
So it may be if you've sent it after that date, it will have probably come through. However, before that, it was all scrunked up and we didn't really notice until recently. So sorry if you've lost anything. If you're unsure, just send it again. You know, double points, all that good stuff. And yeah, so that's all. Yeah, there have been quite a few issues with the website since we updated.
WordPress updated and stuff broke.
Yeah.
Thanks,
so
WordPress.
If you do spot anything at all, please send us a note about it.
I also made the contact form so that when you do fill it out, it does tell you that the message has actually been sent.
Yeah.
Which is useful for your records.
Not only that, the donation image, which previously wasn't coming up for any donators as well, that has been fixed too, so that does link to you.
Yeah.
So yeah, my apologies. If there's anyone who donated, I don't think there is, who I haven't sent a direct email to about linking you out to that, that has been fixed up now.
It was Foxtel Critter, but I sent a link to it.
Okay, I did too, so that's all good.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Double the link for him then.
Yep.
But speaking of emails, Jen, you had something from Tom, yes?
Yes, I have an awesome story that Tom found and then, of course, passed on to me and ACTFA in turn. It's a really interesting story about how a private organisation in Costa Rica is dealing with a stray mutt dog issue. The company's called Territorio de Zaguetas. I think I said it right, but
I don't know what the translation.
They're doing something really unique in the way of they're using people's vanity against themselves to help with the stray dog problem, and to help people adopt more dogs and make them more popular. So there's a video probably explains it best. So I'll send it to you guys so you can look at it, and it's gonna blow your mind.
Okay,
because
so
it's the coolest thing ever.
Pause this. Go look at the video, and then you can
pause
join
right now.
Class. So they're basically celebrating mixed breeds and getting unique dogs, and that's encouraging people to go and like adopting them.
Yep.
That's kind of cool.
That's really cool. I like that. I like that a lot.
It's as sad as it is, it's playing to people's vanities, pretty much.
Yeah.
But like, it's a great idea in regards to also finding out the parents of the dog, so then they know like the medical history of the dog. And I mean, purebreds are great. I love purebreds. Bronte's a purebred German Shepherd, and she's gorgeous. But because she's a purebred German Shepherd, she has hip dysplasia. Mm. So she's like, what, six now? But when we had her at like 2 years old, she already started having signs of arthritis at two. Like, and that's because they've been inbred.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the dogs are kept. That's how they're kept. So mutts are really integral sturdy part of the dogs. Yeah. And they're really integral because if you keep mixing breeds together, it's just going to, like, the same breed over and over and over. It's just, you're just going to come up with inbreeding and it's going to create all these medical problems. But yeah, it's really cute because all the names they take, they'll take like the names of the dogs and then like add things in.
Yeah.
So like fire tailed or like bushy tailed or super, like they'll add like white stripe if there's a stripe down the back. Or
yeah.
Rose sniffing snorgy. So,
yeah. No, I think that's cool.
Yeah, but there's they're so cute. There's like, and they've named them all sort of things like Chihuahua Fox.
Yeah,
which is a terrier cross with a Chihuahua, and like a Schnauzer Fox, so Schnauzer, Dober Schnauzer, Alaskan Collie.
Yeah,
Alaskan Collie.
So check that out, so guys. Beautiful. You can simply type in Terror Torres de Zagula. I can't remember how to say it now.
let's just link it. We'll
check
link
the
it.
Link in the show notes.
We'll probably just embed the video because, again.
Yeah.
Just
check out the video. It's so awesome.
Like, I don't know. I've always been one with, like, the whole mutt thing. Because, like, I don't know. Cats that they've had and dogs, they've always been parts of something. Or, like, they've got a bit of it. They're the best.
Mm.
Their temperament is so good. And they're so pretty. Oh, my God.
I agree. But people don't want them because they don't want designer. They want designer breeds.
Boom.
Right. So
but they are designer breeds. Well, there
exactly
they are now.
That's the point. And what's interesting is it's not like the dog has changed at all.
Yeah.
The dog is exactly the same as it was before. The only thing they've done is made people played on the vanity of people of wanting something unique and different and special to adopt these dogs.
And now you can take photos of your dog like your lunch.
they were all the same. Like, it doesn't change. The dog doesn't. Mutts have always been that, you know. Yeah. It's more just by describing what the dog is, it gives it a bit more of a...
Instead of being a mutt, it's something...
Then again, it's like a fresh twist.
Yeah,
like,
it's something.
You'll find a lot of... That's an interesting reflection, actually, or dichotomy, that the furry fandom has, where, like, having a singular species, kind of boring, kind of already done these days. And now you'll find a lot of people are into hybrids, even
it's
if
like
it's hybrids of
between...
that's really similar, and they want to be all the bright colours. It's kind of similar, where it's like, I want the super special thing, and now you can have your sparkle dog and your sparkle fairy all in one place.
So it's like the difference between a pudding and a creme brulee.
They're
both pudding.
I think you just want an excuse to liken it to food, but yes,
it's true.
Let's go with that.
We've also got some donation thanks. Donations for this this episode is brought to you by Foxtailed Critter, Mew Fanatic. Who I think both already have titles.
Ryu,
a new donator as well, who I don't think he needs a special name because his name is Malactus.
Which is the single best sign name.
Oh my god, you sound like the best kind of DC Marvel supervillain ever.
Or like Molasses Galactus.
No, wait. Malactus.
So slow but powerful.
He's the dark lord of all dark alcohols.
Ew.
Like
no,
rum and whiskey. And I have molasses, Malactus. He controls them all. If you drink his out.
Wait, molasses isn't alcohol?
Molasses is the result that you get from refining cane sugar, which they then ferment and use to make things like.
But it's
rum.
Not alcohol. It's not what you consider. I'll go to the bar and order a molasses, please.
But you could go to the bar and order a Malactus.
I do that.
It sounds like a really
maybe
badass
cocktail.
Maybe
that's why cocktail. They keep throwing me out.
Holy shit. Go to the bar, order Malactus. It's covered with sparklers in it.
he comes in a glass. We're like, dude, aren't you that dude who donated to the show?
Because, you know, we just inherently know him. And he's like this huge fucking space god.
Yes, I am.
Fancy seeing you sitting in a bar.
Drink of me and be donated. Actually, since we're getting into letters, I should probably play letter music, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
We just totally slip-slided into that one.
That's true.
I love this music. I will never, ever, ever get tired of this music, except for that one day when I do, and then I won't admit it.
It sounds like elevator music.
I will never get tired of candy until that day that I do.
This is what you said.
But then you want candy later.
Yeah.
This doesn't even make sense.
That's because Creighton lives on the edge. The edge of his seat ever about to tip off.
Anyway, this is
flies by the seat of his pants.
I like that.
Priority 1, message.
Hey there, Act 4 crew. This is Arcadian Fox from Idaho Falls, Idaho, USA, and I just wanted to share my thoughts on the otherkin discussion.
Oh, hi.
To me, furry is the ultimate form of self-expression. It allows you to literally reinvent yourself. So, in my opinion, anyone who expresses themselves with an otherkin is a furry, but only if they want to be. For example, my life could have taken a very different turn, and I would either have no idea furry even exists, or I would have no desire to be part of the fandom. But foxes have been my favorite animal since I can remember, and would continue to be, even in that hypothetical circumstance. I probably would have even imagined a quote-unquote fox man as an alter ego to my real self. And in fact, I did herein, well, for lack of a better term, the real world, well before I ever realized I was a furry. And if that held true in the alternate reality we are imagining now, if I did create such an alter ego for myself, I would still not have been furry. And why? Well, because I wouldn't have seen myself as such. After all, as Creighton is fond of saying, furry is something you are, not something you do. See you around, Act Furians.
You know, he actually makes a really good point there. If you have a character that is a furry, or you like this stuff that is labeled as furry, unless you choose to be a furry, I don't think you should necessarily be called one.
But, like, by that same token, because he's saying here that he nearly went the route of not even knowing what the fandom is, yet he considers people who are otherkin to be it by default. Does that mean as long as you don't know not part of it?
He didn't say that at all. What he said is, otherkin are only part of it if they choose to be. If you're a mermaid and you choose to be part of the furry fandom, then you can be. You are. If you're a mermaid and you don't want to be part of the furry fandom, then you're not.
Yeah.
You know, it's a choice of this. You choose what you are, not
so it's purely
who you are.
Yeah, it's purely perspective.
Anthropomorphic fox character could be considered furry, but it doesn't necessarily have to be labeled as such. Other people might label it as, but that's their choice. It's kind of like, you know, a hamburger can be considered food and a
junk
sculpture.
Yeah,
technically,
like,
if the label you apply to a stack of constructed product is
a
sculpture,
it's a weird example,
technically, technically a hamburger is both an edible sculpture and
food.
Well, like, that's what I mean. Like, we might see it as furry, but do you think the people who made Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were like, this is so fucking furry,
don't know.
Funny
cartoon
animals?
That's what they thought? No.
Yeah.
But it is. Like, we see it as, because we believe it is. But if the creators of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out and said, like, it's not furry, then we have to be like, fine, whatever. Assholes.
They're like, you can't have it. This is why you can't have nice things, Jen.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Oh,
but
my
yeah,
god,
it's an interesting concept.
How come you never see were fairies? Because that would be fucking
were
awesome.
Fairies.
Were fairies.
Really?
Yeah.
As in, like, you're a person during your day life, and then like, you're were fairy.
That's kind of awesome.
Sure, we do. Every magical girl anime. I'm perfectly normal.
Yes, it's true. Every magical girl anime ever.
But at night, I'm secretly have wings and save the world.
It's not always at night.
We're fairy.
Let's not be,
I'm either in class or a fairy.
Well, no, they can be walking to school as well.
Okay, I guess.
Having lunch with their friends and then have to go save the universe.
But only if you choose to be.
Yeah. But I also wanted to...
Could you be like a were skunk?
Yeah. Oh my god, there was a person who came into my store recently that was telling me about
Werepanda!
A story about that they'd written about, and this is the thing, they completely don't even, I don't even think furry is a thing on their radar. They had characters that were a were-platypus, and I'm like, oh my god, yes.
Wait, like turned into a big hulking manipus? Or
tiny
platypus?
She, god, sexist. Sheapus. Doesn't have to be. Don't smile while you say that word. You
were the one smiling. Terrible. Finish your sentence.
Anyway, it's the whole were thing where, like, you know, you turn into you're a person, full on. Full-blown person.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then you have, like, the whole hulking beast between platypus and person, and then you turn into an actual platypus, and you eat yabbies and it's delicious.
So, like, Animorphs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except
pretty
the platypus. Much.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah.
The Animorphs.
Actually, could Animorphs turn into multiple animals or just one each?
No, they can only turn into... Well, they can turn... Like, whatever their base origin is, for instance, a human can turn into a cat, and, like, they have the degrees, but it's a pretty quick morph. They can't hold the stages in between.
But if you start out
as an alien and then you turn into stuff, you're the alien between them. Anyway, that's a completely different tangent, okay. Which we're not going to get onto.
I never read Animals.
We've all watched Animals. Yeah. We all know what happens, especially if you stay as an animal for too long, and then you go and you're Tobias and you're a freaking hawk.
I love Tobias. Tobias,
I hated him.
I loved him. I know.
It's the guy from X-Men, Billy, or whatever his name is.
I loved him so much. I didn't ever watch the series much, but I did read the books. Tobias was like my teen heartthrob boner. He was so cool.
No, man, the series was awesome. Yeah. I'm going to find that. I want to watch it now. I want to watch it. It's so good.
No, the books, Jen.
Okay. But,
the TV series is awesome.
One thrown here was, we got a whole bunch of discussion topic suggestions. That's still going. You guys are suggesting really cool things. We're going to pull from that shortly. Woo. However, there's a couple that probably couldn't make a whole episode, but make interesting questions.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to pull two of them in here. One is, hello, my name is Moon H. Shadow. What does the H stand for?
Helion Collider!
Moon Hadron Collider Shadow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I was watching Pulp Fiction, and there was a part where someone said, "This is American." This is American? This is American. Our names don't mean shit. Okay. This is America. Is-es. Our names don't mean shit. It got me thinking about names and what they mean to people. I guess you covered this for a bit before, but I was wondering what your thoughts are on it. Do you think names matter?
Yes.
Why?
I think they leave an impact.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily have to come from grand things, however a lot of them do. Sometimes they're just like, for instance, the origin of mine means the meaning of it carries more from the meaning behind an association with the word carnival has a lot more like the way I came about that. Really uneventful. Me and my friend Cass were sitting there listing a whole bunch of like cute kind of punkish girl sounding names for a character that I'd had, i.e. my fursona now, my persona. And Carnival looked the most attractive. And then it's only sort of, I don't know. I think originally I recognized how good that was, and it's just continued to be fucking awesome. It's such a good...
It's a good choice.
Well, considering the way my art has grown, and even just me as a person, it represents me better now than it did back then, which is interesting. So, like, I don't know if that's a self-fulfilling prophecy there, or even if that had anything to do with it, would I have still become the same without that particular name? Mm. I don't know. But it's very iconic, and I really like that. So, a good sign name or handle, yes, I think it can be very important. Mm. If you've got a good one, you know it.
Jen?
And it suits.
Yeah, I agree. A name is really what, especially online, a name is like your face. It's really what people see first, you know, see your name. It's your brand, it's you. And especially if it's if you use it for everything, it very much becomes a brand in that sense. 'Cause I come from, obviously, the brand side of it. Like, Danira is everything. When I'm not in real life.
Not only that, but like it's unique. Like it's a name that is a little bit more fantasy, a little bit more uncommon.
Yes.
But it has nice repetition in it, because you've got the E-N-E-A-A-R-A, and like it just flows nicely. It sounds good. Like I said,
you can say
there's so much in a
Gennaro.
Name. Yeah. No. Well.
Gennaro.
It's just...
I'll be like Tajay. Janeera.
Yeah. Well, it shortens as well nicely to Jen, which Jen. Is like a good nickname. Yeah. Which rolls nicely off the tongue, and people who are personal with you have that, as well as extending out and sounding quite good. So, yes, and Crane's important.
Because I'm amazing.
Well, I think...
and modest, obviously.
I think names are important as a sort of a self-referential identity, because you can have the name that you're given... But there's I think the name you choose is important to people, and why sometimes they'll change names and change names and change names and stuff.
Who am I?
Because a name that you can apply to yourself is something that you want to say about yourself. So for a lot of people, it can actually be the first stages in sort of getting past their social mask, especially online and stuff like that, because all of a sudden you've got a name that you choose. So a self-referential name is really important because you are applying a label to yourself that you choose. So you are letting people perceive you the way you want.
Some people don't,
which is really interesting. Like, for instance, I'd really like to hear from Vixen and Crazy on this, especially Vixen, because Vixen has a name which is Vixen, which is pretty standard a label as far as the furry fandom goes. Though, admittedly, the fact that it's so Vixen, it's just Vixen. It's not Crazy Vixen, it's not Latin Vixen, it's not Purple Vixen, it's just Vixen. Hmm. I think that's far more unique than all the crazy names people try and go for.
Hmm. Well, I don't know, it's straightforward, but I don't know, there aren't any other people who have that stick quite as iconically. Now, this could be just that we know her better, and she also has a brand, as in her fursuit brand.
Actually, you guys know Kibba, right?
Yep.
The one... Kibba or Kiba? Is it?
Yes. As in Mel's
Okay, it's spelled
partner.
The same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kibba.
Kibba and Kiba, right? It's spelled the same. It's K-I-B-A. So whenever you guys say Kibba, I immediately think Mel's
yes.
Kibba. Whenever I say Kibba to you guys...
Yeah, we've got a friend, Kiba.
You
K-I-B-B-E-R. Kiba. Kiba.
It totally sounds like Kiba.
It's phonically, yes, it sounds the same. However, I usually call it Kibas or Keebs. But, like, yes, I've noticed that they do have the same sounding name. Thanks, Wolf's Rain.
it's interesting that it's, like, it's just because we know different people.
Yeah.
So,
the association rings
so
different.
Like, it's very similar name that we just get caught up in it.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I think that's why, I think initially her name was K-I-B-A, but like lots of other people had the similar sign name, and she was like, fuck that. So she was like, I'm going to make it K-Y-B-A. I'm so original.
Yeah, I'm totally different.
Yeah, and then when she signed up for Affinity, she made it K-I-B-B-E-R to be different, like a little bit more different again. And
just stick to one thing, Nat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think she's this is the thing. She's trying to get away from the similar stuff that everyone else has, but she's not going that far.
Yeah. you gotta actually walk away.
Yeah, that's why I call her Keebs now these days. I don't know. It's just stuck.
And the last one of these little suggestion things was this one's from Meep. Thank you. Which is YouTube videos. Have you ever made one? Favorite video at the moment and weirdest channel in your subscribe to?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So, Firstly, have I ever made one? Yes. Please, God, don't look at them.
Oh.
favorite videos? Freaking the Vlog Brothers. No, if anyone has not heard of the Vlog Brothers, you have to. The Nerd Fighters? Oh my God. They're amazing. They're these two brothers, Hank and John Green, who do weekly-ish videos, usually more regular than that, and talk about things in an easy-to-understand way and also have fun with stuff. Like, for example, Hank did a 5-minute video explaining Syria, so people knew what the hell was going on in a way that was easy to understand and explained the situation. Then he did, like, 42 rants in 5 minutes about something else. Or how people mispronounce words.
Yeah.
And how they're stupid for that.
Oh, I had a brilliant moment of that the other day.
Yeah.
When, I think it was, I can't even remember who it was in the kitchen. There was a friends gathering. And we were talking about one word. And we were talking about the word pronounce and pronunciate. And how
pronunciation.
And there was a minority of us that said it was no, you pronounce it pronunciation or pronunciate, and they were like, no, it's not. And we were the minority, and we were so right in your face, everyone else.
Pronunciation is how you say
yeah, that's how you say it.
Pronounce, and pronounce.
No. It's pronounced and pronunciate. Yes. But everyone thought it was pronunciate. I'm like, nope, you're all wrong. You're all wrong and you all suck. Yeah. See, I'm not just a dumb southerner sometimes.
It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's the Vlogbrothers. Why did I say V and then log? Vlog. Is it on my blog? I know this. I do this. This is like what I do on the side. Oh my god, I feel so stupid.
And the weirdest channel you subscribe to.
Hang on, that was the one.
You have to check now. No, that wasn't my weirdest channel. That's my favorite video of all time.
Oh.
If you can't think of one, don't worry.
Weirdest channel I subscribe to. They're mainly just blogs.
I have only ever made a speed paint, so I'm going to count that as a half yes.
Hang on, was that the one that...
I've made a couple of speed paints.
Did you?
Yeah, I've made like two or three.
Did you actually record them? I thought they were streams.
I've recorded one and then...
Oh, you put it on YouTube as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Favorite video at the moment? Okay, the weirdest channel subscription is not very weird because I only have two channels that I subscribe to. Because
you are vanilla as shit.
Well, three. There's Freddy View. Freddy View 2 and How Is It Made?
Oh, okay.
So my weirdest one would be Freddy View, and my favorite video, which would be from that, would probably be the Gmod in real life one with the scientists, and they make a rock-powered bathtub. But he
Wait,
does
that's
all
your
the.
Favorite? That's lame.
But no, it's because it does all the. They do all the movements that the scientists actually do in Gmod. So I thought that was cute.
Wow, you thought that was the best? You obviously don't YouTube enough.
No, it was just the one in my subscription list.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, yeah. And, Carney, have you ever made YouTube videos?
There are two. You made it, actually.
Okay, so that would be no.
And the other one is me taking video of my cat doing a double take, which is hilarious.
Okay, so yeah, she made one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm totally an internet
favorite
favorite
video at the moment?
Oh, God. I have no idea. I have a few. Like, I'm not a YouTube connoisseur. I guess the latest funny one was that guy waking up from anesthetic and, like, seeing his wife for the first time.
Notes. Seriously, guys. That's fantastic.
Oh, my God. It's so adorable. He wakes up and sees his wife for the first time since he's been under. And he's just like... I won't spoil it. You have to just sort of see it.
You're my wife?
No. Well, he just looks at her. He's just like, man, you're beautiful. You're like the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Who are you? Are you the nurse? And, like, she's like, no. And he's like, are you a model? And she's just, like, laughing and like, no, I'll just stay here with you. And she's like, I'm your wife. He's like, you're my wife? He's so surprised.
And then he's like, damn!
And, yeah, it's really cute.
Although, have we kissed?
Yeah, have we? Do we have kids?
Children?
Yeah. No. He just can't remember.
Wow. And he's like,
I
want to
see this video.
He's so amazed. It's fantastic.
Link it.
I will grab that. Okay, during the break, Jen can watch that. You guys can see it in the show notes.
Yeah.
As for right now, we are going to pop into a break.
I didn't
and
even
you guys
tell them
are going
my weirdest subscribe.
What's your weirdest subscribe?
Ninja Sex Party. They're a music group, and they're fucking awesome.
Okay, that's good. All right, we're going to go into a break here. You guys can listen to some fancy dancing segments, and we will hear you. No, you will hear us on the other side.
We might hear them if they have any more audio letters.
Good evening, and welcome to Kel's Wonderful Life. Ah, dear listeners, I have a riddle for you. Don't worry, it's nothing too taxing. On the face of it, it's rather basic, really. Here goes. Who are you? Do you know? How do you answer such a question? The obvious answer might be to simply recite your name. After all, that is how we refer to each other when we talk. However, I will wager that most of you listening have more than one name or alias as well. Most likely names that you have chosen for yourself. Which name is really you? All of them? None of them? For most people, your name is just a label someone else has applied to you, a convenient macro, but not something that is actually part of you in of itself. The name you have chosen personally embodies some aspects of you, but it clearly isn't the whole of you. Who, then, are you? The what is simple enough. As animals, we are self-replicating assemblages of meat that act and react according to our environments and programmed behaviors. But as intellects lacking a unifying self-conception, we are merely an incoherent assemblage of loosely connected symbols and ideas. The contextual structure that our identities give us raises us from merely experiential existence to votive cognition. It takes the what and makes it a who. Consequently, who we are is inextricably intertwined with what we are, yet somehow transcends it. Who we are might be said to encompass our sense of self. Indeed, amongst non-human animals, the classic test for self-awareness has been the mirror test, in which a coloured dot or other marker is put on an animal where it cannot see, but then the animal is shown its reflection in a mirror. If the animal turns to look at the coloured dot on its own body, it indicates that the animal recognises itself in the mirror and thus ideates its own existence. Of course, for animals in which vision is not the primary sense, this makes no sense. Certainly, people who are born blind nevertheless have some conception of their own selves. But the physical sensation of our own being cannot in of itself define our identity. Although this may give context for the self as a separate entity from the non-self, it does not implicitly convey meaning. It may be contentious to say that one's identity is innately wrapped up in the meaning of one's own existence, but I would argue that this is a supportable position. Names themselves are tokens of meaning. They are reference for the meaning that we individually embody. Individuality itself is a byproduct of the meaningfulness of the self. Were we all identical, there would be no value in distinguishing one person from the other. The idea of self would be devoid of useful application. However, the distinctiveness of one person from another provides a framework for assembling meaning derived from our unique attributes. Whether or not that meaning is personally satisfying is another question entirely. Wealthy, aimless people will pay consultants and gurus a substantial amount of money to tell them who they are and what meaning their lives have, if any. The furry fandom, in many ways, crystallizes the value of self. We construct our own elaborate personal mythologies using reference from nature, ancient culture, popular culture, religion, and literature. To a great extent, these mythologies are wrought from refined and potent symbolism. Our ancestors did the heavy lifting in coming up with a webbing of ideas, images, and motifs with which we may remix, spin, mutate, and conflate our facades. As the saying goes, every poet is a thief, and in the same way we are all products of our gestational cultures. The sheer preponderance of blue wolves and other stereotypes should convince you of that. For sure, furry is an identity culture. It saturates every facet of the hobby, from drawing your myriad chars, to commissioning your own fursuit, to totemizing your personal spirit animal. So much of furry is bound up in the conception of who we are. It is a rare thing indeed to find a furry who can't point to something and say, "This is me." In that vein, we have internalized and fetishized the value of individuality, of uniqueness. Amongst furries, you can be whatever you like, so long as it isn't someone else's character. The greatest virtue is originality, and the greatest crime is blatant derivation. While imitation may be the sincerest form of flattery, in identity politics, it is an inexcusable faux pas. Of course, it's not just furry in which identity forms the defining role of fandom expression. The rising upstart of the My Little Pony fandom takes a fascinatingly different tack. In contrast to the virulently and competitively individualist streak of furries, the brony sect focuses on characters in which the self is depersonified in favor of strongly correlated defining personality traits that are orthogonal within the group. The quintessential MLP character exceeds cliché personas while somehow inducing singular characteristics that create an archetype. Each is an individual, yet somehow planar. What you see is what you get, and socio-political roles are tacitly enforced by convention, if not the narrative itself. Within wider society, the value of identity for both individuals as well as groups is self-evident. We waste no time organizing into groups of socially, spiritually, mentally, and physically alike people, all of whom reinforce both our notions of individual agency, yet also group coherence. The irony is that only through clearly asserted sense of self can we structure our personal relationships such that we feel that we belong. The contextual framework for our identity turns full circle. Ultimately, our own selves have meaning, and thus our own identities can manifest, solely because we are around others who aren't us, but who reflect us in some way. So, who are you? Odds are good you already have some idea, or at least an answer that is in some way satisfying to you. But don't cling to that answer too tightly. In time, all things change, and it stands to reason that as we grow, and experience, and evolve, so too will our sense of self. Who you are tomorrow will be subtly different from who you are today. For better or for worse, nothing can stay the same. And we should look forward to meeting the new people we are yet to become. It is likely that they will have much to teach us. This has been Kel's Wonderful Life, where I'm my own self. Or so I think.
sound of scritching? The smell of art supplies? Grown men pose for photos with cuddly stuffed animals? Where are we?
I believe we are at what is called a furry convention.
Ah, a furcon. One of my great inventions.
Something told me you'd be behind this. Tell me, are you also responsible for Star Trek conventions and garden clubs? Not that I'm trying to weaponize them or anything.
I don't know, I kinda like it. People are having fun, good vibes. Wait a sec, lady. How?
Yes.
Weren't you just...
Just what?
We left you in the poker room, took a drive, and now... Weren't you bolted to the ceiling?
Yes. Your point.
My what? You're here, and... I'm dripping, aren't I?
Yes. Yes, you are. But you're right. That's just one of the perks of belonging to a company that specializes in temporal spatial displacement.
What?
I would invite you to join and apply for testing at my facility. But I think even the rhesus monkeys would laugh you and your sponge-like brain matter off. Assuming they're still alive. Monkeys prefer their food laced with fiberglass, don't they? Completely incidental question.
Whatever the case, Fenris is not here. Just a bunch of very large, soft, flammable moving targets.
Don't even think about it!
Oh, you're no fun.
Your cable company and you. So, you have made the decision to join the rest of the world in watching TV. Good for you, but where do you start? Well, we at the Corporate Corporation of Corporateness recommend acquiring a cable television subscription. After all, having three network channels is boring, and if you like things like trees, clouds, flying animals, buildings, adverse weather conditions, air molecules, and any direction other than west, then satellite television may not be for you. Oh look, here comes a potential customer now to help us demonstrate. Say hello, potential customer.
Hi? How did you get into my house?
Ha ha! I broke in. Now, just so you know, as a cable subscriber, you have so many choices of cable company to choose from. For instance, you have... Well, there's also... Okay, you got us. That's better than nothing, right?
Whatever, I'll buy it. I'll do cable now. So how's setup gonna happen?
I'm glad you asked. We'll have you up and ready sometime... within the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Of course. What?
You see, valued customer, our installation specialists have very busy schedules. Lots of other people need to get installed and ready.
Okay, I guess I can accept that. I guess it's worth it.
You betcha! Just think of the classic programming you're getting. Why, you'll get such classics as the Discovery Channel, TLC, Animal Planet, and the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Classy. Educational channels that have been rebranded as crappy reality show blocks. Come to think they're all owned by the same network.
Ain't it grand? Now, if you want to see an auction-themed reality show, you have Auction Kings, Auction Hunters, Pawn Stars, Hardcore Pawn, Pawn Queens, Storage Wars, and Storage Hunters to choose from.
What if I want to see something that won't fuck my brain to jelly?
No problem. We could add a channel or two to your package. Tell me, do you want to see what Cartoon Network looked like in days long past, when it was still mostly animation? We got one just like that called Boomerang.
Yeah, that actually sounds kind of promising. I do kind of miss my old channels before they were rebranded beyond recognition.
Super! That'll be $79.95.
What?
Now, we sell channels in packages. With Boomerang, you'll also get 750 channels, all dedicated to sports.
Okay, you know what? Never mind. I'll just watch CBS or something. Not exactly HBO, but what you gonna do?
Ooh, sorry, buddy. No CBS.
It's a network station. Who doesn't have goddamn network stations? Even TVs that don't receive jack shit have network stations.
We don't. You see, most cable companies here also own or are owned by media conglomerates. Comcast owned by Universal, Time Warner, you can probably guess, and so forth. And if there's one thing we interconnected competing companies like, it's outrageous conflicts of interest. Same deal with Dish Network suddenly blacking out AMC networks. So we're quite happy blocking out your favorite program for petty bullshit like hiking the prices for distribution.
Well, how am I supposed to see stuff like Under the Dome or Breaking Bad? Go online for it?
Nope. Both we and our respective networks are able to block such websites based on your ISP, which I presume is our humble mom-and-pop cable company. Shame too. Literally everyone else on Earth could otherwise see what you can't. For free!
Oh, you vapid piece of shit. Might as well just find another company.
Good luck finding one.
Wait, what?
And there you have it, folks. In a few easy steps, we have another satisfied cable customer.
Oh, come on.
See? He's smiling. I think that's Barian's teeth. Oh dear. Either way, he is now set at 4 years of entertainment. And you can be too. We're all about the long term, after all. Our contracts are hard to negotiate yourself out of. Your cable company, and you.
Nah, fuck this. I'm going to the Pirate Bay.
Welcome to Smile with Shiro, with your host, Shiro.
Thank you, and welcome to Smile with Shiro. I am your host, Shiro. The point of this segment is to promote relaxation, self-confidence, and most importantly, inner joy. All of you are leading busy lives, producing podcasts, going to school, working, hanging out with friends, etc. It's good once in a while to take a moment to yourself and relax. Take a deep breath and smile.
Hey Shiro, I made some cookies. Want some?
No, Fenris. I'm kind of in the middle of recording.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry, I forgot about your smirk with Shiro thing. Sorry, I'll be over there.
Thank you. Anyway, as I was saying, you must learn to relax, let go of your stresses and worries, and take a minute to do something you enjoy. Remember, the key is to relax. So don't do anything too mentally intensive or frustrating, and it should bring a smile.
Hey, Shiro, I think my cookies are undercooked. Try one.
Fenris!
Maybe I shouldn't have stuffed into you while you weren't looking.
Just use my oven if they need cooking. And please be quiet. I would like to get this recorded tonight.
Oh yeah, sure thing, thanks.
Anyway, another good thing to do is look yourself in the mirror. In the morning, at night, whenever you're in front of a mirror. And just smile.
Now, how do you work this thing?
Smiling at yourself in the mirror is a good way to calm yourself and build self-confidence. After all, you give everyone else a smile.
What's this setting?
So why not give yourself a smile? Holy Rob of what now?
Shiro, I think I might have accidentally summoned the devil himself.
That's just great. Wonderful. Just give Mr. himself a cookie, and could both of you, just please be quiet?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I hope I helped some of you smile. God damn it!
It was him.
Wait, Fenris, I'm going to kill you!
Oh god, angry dragon!
Get your fuzzy red ass over here!
You don't need to get so fired up.
I'll show you fired up!
Oh god, dragon's been fired!
Thank you for listening to Smile with Shiro.
I'm gonna beat the living dead to
make it! Oh shit!
We won't be back.
Please have mercy!
Greetings once again, Aquarians, and welcome to Ramirez's Redux Review with your host, Ramirez the Raptor. I'd like to begin with an apology for my absence in last feedback episode. In short, university, work, and reformatting my segment took up quite a bit of my time. I'm sorry. That being said, I shall be conducting future reviews in a more organized, checklist style, and cover the main aspects of a story, including setting, plot, characters, additional good and bad features, furry ones where appropriate, and an overall reason why you should or shouldn't read the story. So without further ado, here is this week's book, Dragonsbait, composed by Vivin van Vell. Our tale involves the humble girl Elise, whom lives with her sickly father at a tinsmithing shop in the town of St. Toby's by the Mountain. falsely accused and condemned for witchcraft by a corrupt inquisitor and the townsfolk she once called friends, Elise is torn from the safety of her home and left at the stake as offering for a terrifying dragon. Yet when the beast arrives, her fortunes take a sudden turn from impending doom to a partnership for revenge. Now, as far as a world or universe goes for this kind of book, I found this one to be lacking. I had to presume that it was a medieval land in resemblance of England or elsewhere in Europe, if not a fictional land. The people themselves live in fear of anything that is supernatural and rely on what I assumed was a feudal society for protection and survival. Aside from that, I wasn't able to imagine much else without projecting more than my own basic interpretation. In short, the story could have used more detail in its setting. The plot of Dragon's Bait revolves around the uneasy alliance between Elise and the mysterious dragon that calls himself Selendrail, whom claims to be helping Elise only to share in the relish of paying back the people who betrayed her. It is a quest of careful scheming, clever deception, and a constantly tested trust between the duo. As far as vengeance story arcs go, I found this to be nicely done for a novel that is clearly aimed at a younger audience, as it has good pacing and keeps the reader guessing the outcome of every move. What I consider to be the best feature of the book are Elise and Selendrail. The fact that a story originally published in 1992 has a female protagonist makes it a decent standout, given that such a thing really wasn't common back then. Elise is a girl that, whilst young and somewhat helpless in the hands of her strange companion, is driven by a passionate desire for revenge. With nothing left to lose, she retains an inner strength in order to survive at any cost and make the town she once loved get their just deserts. Selendrail, on the other hand, is a secretive being capable of unknown magic, aside from breathing fire and changing from his dragon shape to others, like that of a handsome young man, which he uses as his primary disguise. Other than siding with Elise only for the enjoyment of aiding her retribution, very little else is known about the young dragon. His talents, his supposedly single motive, and his mannerisms make him a very intriguing character. What is perhaps the only minor letdown related to him are the repetitive descriptions of his actions or expressions. To quote an example, "There was nothing in his face to indicate what he thought of that, whether he was disgusted by her fear or if, like Inquisitor Atheron, he took pleasure in it." Sentences such as this don't seem to let up as the story progresses, and frankly get a little tiresome. In spite of this, Selendrail is an excellent opposite to Elise, and their dynamic provides a lot of entertainment and drive in the narrative. Given the small size of this book, there is little else in the way of good or bad features worth mentioning, so I'll summarise by saying that Dragon's Bait is a decent fantasy piece with a pair of well-made characters. It is their interactions and the overall theme of revenge that makes this piece worthwhile. And as you very likely would have guessed, the fairy appeal lies solely with Selendrail, for he is a classic example of a powerful, arrogant, and sexy dragon. So there you have it, listeners. Credit for the music of this piece goes to Brunouville from the album Tales of the Lost Kingdom, and a special shout-out goes to Dysus the Fuzz Dragon for loaning me the book. I'll be sure to return it, mate. Don't you worry. Farewell for now, Actvarians. This has been Ramirez's Redux Review, and I leave you with the quote, "Sleep is good," he said, "and books are better." Happy reading!
Oh, welcome back, listeners! Jen, I heard your crunch through the microphone. Was that your neck?
Yeah, it was like my shoulder neck.
Did you just display some of your titanium rods?
I think so. I'm all right, though. But,
that wasn't great.
Yeah.
That was the excitement awesome. Of the episode just channeling itself up your spine.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Like a conductive rod.
Excitement! So if you were at a rave, then, like, all the excitement would just be inside of Jen's spine.
What?
She could shoot happy lightning bolts out of her hands.
It's a bit of a leap, but yeah.
Everyone else is on acid, that too.
Yeah.
You know. First up here is from Kesitas, who says, "I'm missing Manifest." Well, you already missed Manifest, so Whoops.
Nice job.
It was my first con and still the best I've been to. I guess I'll need to work harder and make it to mere convergence or whatever it is now. Meet some people, have some fun, and spend the day in a horrible bind as my accommodation booking is messed up. Yeah, nothing beats travelling around for fur cons. On the topic of cooking, however, I guess this really is an old letter. Sorry, Casus, must have missed this one. Bacon stuff, or rather just bacon itself. I can cook, but I don't because my sister loves to cook and she's the kitchen overlord type of person.
That happens. Yeah.
However, she does have a few good tricks and this is one of hers, of course. The mentioned bacon. So most people would cook their bacon in oil or butter, but my sister cooks her bacon in bacon. Because you aren't really meant to eat the bacon rind. It's all hard fat, which isn't very good for you.
Yep.
So what you do is you cut off the rind and cook it in the pan by itself, and then take it out and cook the bacon in the oil it leaves behind. Bad for you? Horribly. But it's good eaten.
Yeah. Who doesn't do that by default?
I don't know. You do. I never did that beforehand.
I eat the rind.
You guys are cray cray. Like, usually, I used to leave it on.
It
These days
all
I cut it off.
Crunchy.
Jen, you love crackling, though, don't you, Jen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you like crackling, Carly?
I love all the fat. No.
Yeah.
It's the best part of steak.
Wait, what? Steak rind?
No, like, you know how you get a really good steak and there's that like fat on the side?
Yeah. Yes.
Scotch fillet. Oh, scotch fillet.
Oh yeah. It's so bad too. And mum would always give me the piece with the biggest fat because I'd always just eat it all. And she's like, "You're gonna get fat from it." And I'm like, "Well, no."
Yep. And happy. Also says, I said I'd probably have some sort of fan art done, and thanks Carney for finding those references for me.
Too
but
easy,
I got slammed
man.
With a much larger project I have to do for the money along with two other regular jobs. Wow, you sound like me. Work less, if possible. Lots of time consuming work leaving me with very little time for drawing furries, which takes forever because I'm a perfectionist and spectacularly bad at drawing furries.
Aww.
And the sheer scope of the art itself, which was curbed down from an even larger piece I may still do when my insanity flares up again. So yeah, excuses, but real life stuff, bleh. It is impendingly coming one day, hopefully soon. Casitas.
Casitas or Casitas?
I can't remember. You told us how to say it once and I've forgotten already. So I don't know what it is with like people who are like, I will be a furry artist. Terrible at drawing furries. You might be fantastic at doing portraiture. You just suck at doing furries. I'm like, no, do the portraiture. It's okay. We'll forgive you.
No, they're like, no, I must listen to her.
This is from
Velu.
Hey, Velu. Sorry if this email is redundant. When I click send the contact us section of this site, nothing happened.
Yeah,
that's been fixed.
That's
Thanks, Jess.
Yeah, sorry.
Subject, the frog that dreamed of outer space.
I like it already. This is the best email.
Hi, female?
This is the best email.
I thought you said best female.
It could be female. Have you checked? Scroll all the way down.
It appears to have a signature at the bottom.
Oh. Well,
is that male or female?
I don't know.
Oh, dear.
It's shaped like...
Well, it's not a eunuch. We know that at least. Okay, Velu says, "Hi, Akfarians."
Hello.
Hello.
Here's a couple of articles that caught my attention. I want to link you a great TED talk by Michael Archer about the Thylacine Project, intent on what now actually seems like the realistic goal of bringing back thylacines through cloning.
I'm excited.
He goes on to detail how they have DNA and plan on using a Tasmanian devil as a surrogate mother. He also explains why the size difference isn't an issue. That's because they're mammals.
Yeah.
He's quick. Historical and ecological rundown of Australia and New Zealand is both fascinating. Carnivorous kangaroos and monster-sized fish-eating ducks and drop crocs.
What the fuck is
we had drop crocs?
Yeah.
How do I not know
Dude,
about drop crocs?
Dude, our megafauna is awesome.
It's true. What the fuck, Australia? Seriously. And frustrating when listening to how human callousness pushed the thylacines over the edge.
Yeah.
He also presented us with an interesting argument that Tasmanian tigers apparently make good pets and would not be extinct today if keeping them as such had not been made illegal.
Hmm.
Check that out in the show notes. By the way, Ted's awesome. Check that out.
Yeah, I know, right?
Another one. This one is kind of related to cooking. Maybe. Sometimes when you see something that is both silly, twisted, and disturbingly logical. Here and now, in a stroke of genius that could only have been the brainchild of Wile E. Coyote if he made an infomercial, I present you Season Shot. Here it is. Wait for it. Bird shot that fires spice bullets to pre-season your game, birds.
Oh.
I'm going to say it again. Bird shot that fires spice bullets to pre-season your game, birds. Now you two can prepare your food by shooting it with a hunting rifle. Available in Cajun, lemon pepper, garlic for hunting vampires, teriyaki, and honey mustard.
Garlic.
That's pretty funny, actually.
No.
We probably have to load this up.
Are you serious?
I'm imagining that it shoots... Okay, it looks like a rip, but I'm thinking that it actually shoots like a pepper grinder. Like...
That's pretty funny.
It's bound by a fully biodegradable food product. The seasoning is exactly injected into the bird on impact, seasoning the meat from the inside out. When the bird is cooked, the seasoning pellets melt into the meat, spreading the flavor to the entire bird. Forget worrying about shot breaking your teeth and start worrying about which flavored shot to use.
Okay, is this seriously a thing?
Yes, apparently.
It doesn't say where to buy it. Maybe contact.
Oh my god.
I think it is.
Oh my god.
It's under development. They don't have a release date yet, which is why you can't buy it.
Oh my god, that should so be a thing. That's fantastic.
Okay. And the last
so
one.
Bad.
It's like Facebook, but for sharks.
What?
This really cool shark tracker lets you see the positions of tagged sharks in real time with individual profiles and photos.
I love Sharkbook.
Sharks-osearch. It looks like a Google Maps thing.
Dude, they're...
There are none around Australia. That is bullshit.
They're all hanging around the bottom of...
Well, obviously the ones that they've tracked.
Okay, it's the only ones that they've tagged.
Send me the link. I must find the sharks.
Okay, here you go. Jen, you can hunt up sharks. Let's look at a profile. this one. Next to North Carolina.
Can we get a shark? Oh my god.
Its name is Mary Lee.
Oh, really?
I think.
All sharks. Where are they?
Profile.
Oh, they're all...
Shark name, Mary Lee. Species, Cachrodon caracaris. Gender, female. Description. Mary Lee was named after Osearch exhibition leader Chris Fager's mother. My parents have done so much. I was waiting and waiting for a special shark to name after her, and this is truly the most historic and legendary fish I've ever been a part of, and it set the tone for Cape Cod. I was thinking, like, you know, Mary Lee, she likes eating fish and swimming through the ocean.
Maureen is another one. She's so cool.
That's kind of cool.
That's pretty damn awesome, actually. They obviously haven't done enough of this around Australia, because there's, like, none hanging around there. And I'm pretty sure that's a lie. I'm pretty sure they wait there with open mouths for surfboarders in Western Australia.
And so the last one on this list, which really needs to be written into a children's story... About a frog that dreamed of touching the stars.
Oh.
And Jen.
What?
Hang on, what?
That is a rocket launch. That is a frog that was too close.
Oh, man.
It went for a fly.
Holy shit. That's a bit sad, though.
Last Friday, September 6th, the Minotaur 5 rocket sent the Lady, L-A-D-E-E, spacecraft off in a burst of flame... But little did the astronauts know there was one more crew aboard the ready to blast off. Space Toad's final blast off. We know he likely wandered in from the nearby pool for the high volume water deluge system activated during loss, but the question is why will forever remain? It's all a horrible accent, a cry for help, did Space Toad's addiction get the better of him and he constantly searched for the ever elusive high jump?
Oh, that's sad!
Oh, it's impossible to know, so for now, remember Space Toad as he was in his final blissful moment, soaring through the air like a phoenix. Good night, sweet frog prince, and the flights of spaceships sting thee to thy rest.
So is that like an actual photo?
That's an actual photo of the launch!
The first comment is, ground control to Major Toad.
Okay. Thank you for those, Velu. That was fantastic.
That was sad, but also funny.
Oh, baby.
We have one here from Zandaha, who says, hello, Act 4 on Air, the host, residents, and audience included. Hey, listeners, got a hello from one of your own. First, curse the fickle weather await in charge of the Melbourne for delaying the conquest of the sky. But mark my words, Operation Creighton Drop / Carnival will happen. I will be there to celebrate Ewok style, along with everyone else in the future and the past. Thanks, Time Pony. Now, I like Carnival. Yeah, that sounds like a movie name, like Skyfall, James Bond style, except Carnival.
And Craydrop.
Yeah. Now, as far as other kin and its relation to furry as a whole, it's not a subject that I'm best with, but as I see it, a griffin or dragon on its own isn't furry. Neither is a cat or dog. But once they are anthropomorphized, then they are furry. After that, it's a sliding scale going from non-anthro to not really anthro, but kinda to straight up anthro. That's just my opinion, and as for mermaids, centaurs, and kitsunes, Go, I think they're totally anthro, just not super high on the scale, that's all. Also, I noticed that Carnival has been expanding her titles and lands, but know this, you will never out-tuttle me. Mwaha! Ha 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 ha.
That's
speaking
right.
Of that time that I signed off, best regards from...
No.
I'm just going to say Xandahar, etc.
Xandcetra.
P.S. He's just realized that his name is now the longest part of his emails.
Oh, no.
Caseless has also sent in another short email, which is during their recent trip to a shopping center, they realized the a kind of a familiar product on the shelves.
Oh.
It's a very blatant rip-off product, even.
Oh.
You may recognize it.
Oh, my lovely horses.
Yep.
Oh, this is... they looked into the reject shop?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah, my lovely horse. Yeah, there's another one as well that's got exactly the same logo shape, but it's like horse... farm house or something.
There are so many rip-offs now.
It's like horse family time or something. It's really bad.
That sounds terrible.
Mel and I went through like a ton of these every time we went looking for ponies. It's hilarious. There's even like a like Barbie ones and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty bad. Wow, they even copied, like, the cutie mark. Wouldn't you get, like, hella sued?
Yeah, they copied the cutie mark.
If you can be found.
Everything except for the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Because you can't trade under the name, but you can trade under a different name with the same product.
What? Can
you,
though?
You can't legally sell it.
You can probably sneak it in.
No, you can't. It's
no, I don't think so.
It's plagiarism.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Not only that, but, like, the art on the box, isn't that old generation art as well?
Yes.
Yeah, the art that's on it, it's all old gen stuff. Mm. It's all gen 3. But yeah, it's all fake.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad. It's terrible bad.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's admittedly, really like, bad. Can fans really be ones to talk at the fact that they sell the stuff?
But that's homage and fan to the new
Okay. Whereas that one's just we're going to produce a million of these things and make a whole bunch of money.
It's a thing where it's like that's doing well. Let's make it look enough like it so the people who can't afford stuff and maybe not know wiser will buy it.
Mm.
That's crap. Oh yeah.
This is from Shiro who says, "Dearest peeps,
boops."
Last episode, episode 4A, you mentioned that cows fart methane gas.
Yeah.
This is actually slightly incorrect. Oh. Cows don't so much fart methane as they do belch it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I learned this little tidbit from a show called QI, which means quite interesting, hosted by Stephen Fry, which is full of interesting and funny
QI
facts and information.
Yeah, QI is the best show ever.
Hmm. So if any of the listeners are looking for a new show to watch, I suggest looking this up. Toodles for now. Shiro senteth frometh our iPhoneth.
Huh?
When you have a message that's sent from an iPhone, you can put a subject ending in there, which says it came from my iPhone in case I stuffed up the spelling.
Yeah. It's because the screens are so small and you must type with all your meaty digits.
He also has a follow-up one and says, "Sorry for sending multiple emails. I'm listening at work and writing these as I hear you speak. You're also talking about dragons and their arrogance that comes with them. I like to think I'm rather a humble dragon myself, but I completely understand and agree that dragon furs, or even characters that are dragons, tend to have very arrogant or dominant personalities. I even rung a tongue-in-cheek Twitter called Dragon Manual that exaggerates dragons for humorous effect. That's @dragon_manual for anyone that wants to see it. Shiro senteth from our iPhoneth." Again, thanks for the reminder. So yeah. I don't know, I think it's because dragons are apex predators and therefore we think that they must be all, like, powerful and power hungry. Ha ha ha, I'm amazing.
It's because dragons are always going to assholes.
Yeah, blame D&D.
Yeah, I don't know, I still think it's contextual. Like, not... Mm.
Like, the Chinese ones are nice.
Yeah, well, no, like, I don't know, I don't know. Dragons are more an extension on humanness, so... Dragons being that thing where they are like
they're ubermensch.
Yeah, it's kind of like that thing where it's like, you know, it's either punishment on humankind, blah blah blah, etc. etc. I don't know. I see dragons as arrogant because sometimes it's like that thing where they're all wise and powerful and refined, blah blah blah.
Speaking of dragons, the last one for this episode is from our very good friend Skyrain.
Skyrain. My headphones fall off.
Which is Skyrain for those of you who don't know it. All right.
Okay. Do you know how that started, by the way? It was because, okay, his nickname is Skyline. and I was being fancy myself funny, and as I was typing a comment to him on for Affinity, I was like, I'll type it all weaponese, and so I typed it Sukai Urayan, right? And his real name is Ryan, so I was like, oh my god, so Ryan
we're not saying Skyline, we're saying Sky Ryan. So, one day he shall fly.
Yeah, so next time he was sitting in my store with me, I got the label printer and typed out S-U-U-U-U-K-A-A-I-I-I-R-I-I-I-A-N.
Sky Ryan.
And like put it on him. He kept it on him for as long as it would stick.
Nice. Well, he says, all right, hire Carney, Creighton, and Jen-Jen.
Hello.
And a Jen-Jen.
Hola.
And, in case there are more.
There's more. There's always
it's
more.
It's 4 a.m.
Yeah, I know. You will beat them down like the pulp they are. No.
It's 4 a.m. and I got to get this done before you record the next episode.
4 a.m. you say? You should be off Facebook.
So why am I a dragon and or how did that happen? Well, starting off, I've always, always, always wanted magical powers, and up until about 18, I was certain that I was going to get them. Still am, just probably not soon.
Oh,
and so
sad.
Magic was always a big part of how I did things in life.
Oh, wait, on their 13th birthday, was it 11th birthday? No, 13th birthday for a freaking Harry Potter letter from Hogwarts. We all did it. We were all like, Maybe
I could be the magical hero.
Yeah, I know. Just like Santa. It betrayed you, Jen.
Hogwarts is the new Santa.
Books, I was lucky because these books came out before I turned that age, so I still had hope.
Or maybe you're like, I know Santa isn't real. Hogwarts might be.
It's
maybe.
Just leading
I doubt
up.
It. Yeah, everyone's like, it's not going to happen, but we all stayed up till 12:01, didn't we?
Anyway,
just in case.
And he's talking about magic was a big part of how he did things in life. This could also have contributed to me liking dragons with myself, as dragons are generally associated with either having or being made of the most powerful magics, which would explain why I like them so much. Ryan, use commas. Although I was going to use magic powers to become a dragon, so at this point it's sort of circular. Also, I'm very much a treasure hunter at heart, which probably comes from being raised by video games.
Good
he really
God,
is.
God, he is
crap.
Such a fucking treasure hunter.
Which is another trait that dragons and their hordes have in common. With me, so my mind would also have been drawn to dragons through the idea of getting at some of the treasure I guard. I mean, oh my god, have you seen piles of treasure? I've only seen digital versions of it, but it looks so amazing to have lay on.
No, seriously, he will literally go down alleyways and look in bins.
To see if there's treasure.
Like, I think he was joking last time, but I don't know how much truth
was
in it.
We need to put a treasure chest somewhere and see what happens.
Yeah, one time he was doing the thing where he was like, Candy, I'm going to look for treasure, and like, head in it. I'm like, get the fuck out of that bin, what are you doing? He's like, it might be a pot I have to break. Are you fucking with me?
It's true though, you have to. You have to break every pot and do everything.
Yeah,
can't leave
it. It's not even funny how actual treasure hunter he is.
One thing I always used to find strange was why dragons were typically the bad guys in media. This is probably due to playing Spyro when I was younger, but I always thought that they had gotten a bad rap, which made me want to befriend dragons even more, because if everyone else is picking on you, that suck. So I wanted to be there for them, at least the misunderstood ones.
Oh my god, Ryan, friend of dragons.
As for my persona being a dragon, I think it's a combination of those factors above and partly what Carney said about the power elements of a dragon being a thing. Initially, I was taken aback by the idea of power being a factor in this, but after mulling it over, I realised that Skyline has always been super strong when pushed to the point of violence, both in physical and magical attributes, the purpose of which is to be able to defend those I cherish, and that's what I believe I should do. And this, as far as I could manage, with the word limit on Axo's contacts page, might not be good for use, but still the more input, the merrier. Happy face, bye.
What the
and
fuck was that?
And she lost the headphones
that?
From that.
That's how you sign your name when you are Skyline.
Well, I think that wraps it up for feedback for this particular episode.
Dragon power!
Do
hunting.
We have
Stay
any reminders?
Bin.
We do, actually. We have a bunch of reminders. Oh. We have two reminders.
Yeah.
We will post on the Facebook and the episode.
The website. Hopefully a new intended date.
For the sky drop.
Yeah,
Carney Fall, Mark 3.
Yeah. Keep following that ever-present and updating link that will be flashed around everyone until it does actually happen. Aside from that, is our next episode really our Halloween one?
Yes.
Fuck.
Because two weeks from now will be mid-October.
Huh.
And in October, we do our Halloween episode.
Shoot, I should probably get... Yeah, but Halloween's late October.
No, no, we always try and do it before Halloween.
Oh. That's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, if you have any Halloween-themed news, spooky stories, etc. like that, send that into the episode. The email used for sending anything into the episode
works now, so you can send it to
you can send it via the contact page. However, you can also send your emails, hate mail, spooky story recipes,
hate mail.
Love mail.
I'm not going to read it.
Wait. What if they're all gender specific? It's mail at actforonair.com.
What's M in the military alphabet?
Moop.
Michael. Oh.
Moop management classes.
It's Michael. So it's Michael Alpha Igloo Lima.
Yeah, but I was being funny. Did you say? You missed my joke, you butthole.
No, it's Michael Alpha India.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
I did Igloo, which is the American one.
Nice job.
Or the UK one. Some are Igloo, and Australia's new one is India, because our accents are terrible.
No, it's because it's the military one. Military one is India.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's that.
How come I've heard Igloo a couple of times?
Because I don't know, maybe that's food. The civilian one? Stupid.
And igloos are slightly more edible than India.
Slightly more edible than India. No, bits of India are edible, namely the food. But and the people, not so much the landmass.
Bottom of the barrel.
You could try.
You're just getting shards now, Craig.
Okay.
Stop.
We have been ACT for on air. My name is Craig.
I've been a Jen.
I've been
Here and now, in a stroke of genius that could only have been the brainchild of Wile E. Coyote, Here and now is a stroke of genius that could only be the shit. Here and now is a stroke of genius that could only have been the brainchild of Wile E. Coyote if he made an infomercial.
Just start that again because you went a weird inflection at the start.
Here and now is Craig to stuff up his line for the fourth time. Don't worry, it'll only hurt for a second.
Oh, are you neutering the uniball?
I might be. Look away. Now put some ice on it.
Audio snap noise when neutering your uniball.
Hey, he's a uni.
Now he's a unicorn.
Now he's a unicorn. E-U-N-I.
You're terrible. Filling the blank space.
Where the hell did my episode 4B go?
What? Right in front of you?
No, Malactus.
Malactus.
Which is kind of a badass name. He doesn't need a title. He is Malactus.
It's like, kind of plops.
And I am trying to find our outro music.
But it is nowhere to be found. It is elusive forever. You should keep them in a place which you can access them all the time, every time, on time. You say that, but then you have moments like this where you can't find it. And it's not there.
Tom is cooking me pasta, and it will probably come when we go to start the show, because that's when I like to eat food.
Is it more echoey because we put the foam up?
No.
Ah.
This is... Erica, that is coming from the computer. It has nothing to do with the acoustics of the room. You know that you're just trolling me, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Look at you bite, though. You were like, I'm going to take that bait. I'm going to swallow it right
down.
I
took that like the fish.
Let him out. Really mean. Oh, dude, I knew that.
Again.
A fuck ton.
I didn't need to ask you that. I know that shit.
Erica.
Yeah. Boop.
I said, can you ask me that so I have a cut-in that sounds normal?
I was playing on it, but yeah.
You're reeling me in again, aren't you? This is the troll Creighton episode. Well, yeah, there's a lot of northerly winds in spring, and the northerly winds are the ones that are really dangerous for this particular location, so yeah.
Yeah, we'll blow you into the city. So it's like, the Eureka Sky...
I'm going to record... What were you calling it?
What? Spaghetti con.
No, the first bit. Uncon.
No, well, uncon is a typo of unicorn, so it becomes uncon.
It's the convention you don't go to.
So what, every other day of the year is uncon?
The only way you can win the uncon game is by not going.
Holy shit. Otherwise, hang on. Does that mean
otherwise
uncon,
it becomes con.
Uncon is the game. By thinking about it, you lose.
Yeah, it's like...
Okay.
There's uncon and con. If you go to con, you fail at uncon.
But what's con? Con is the suffix to every con. Does that mean that con is every? And uncon is your face?
Yeah.
Your face specifically.
If people are like, what con are you going to? I'm like, no, I can't make it to Supernova. I'm going to uncon.
No.
Which are you taking? Did you take the estrogen tablets? Or the... You might have taken the ones based on estrogen. You might need to take one that's a bit more testosterone based. Which might be easier.
Her on more testosterone!
No, I'm serious. That's what I mean. You might be getting too much
estrogen. You would! She might grow a penis for once.
I was going to say, Jen...
And then everyone would be screwed.
Jen, you couldn't hear it through... but I could through the headphones. The sound of Crane's butthole clenching.
You don't need to grow one for that, Kirby.
True.
Well, the last one.
And he's like, don't give her ideas.
Yeah, the last one I took.
What?
Fudging seamless. Holy shit.